We invite you to visit Maserati Jacksonville today for a personalized luxury driving experience like no other. Plus, for a limited time, take advantage of our historically low interest rates. Visit online at MaseratiJacksonville.com.
Now,
Helmets and Heels,
driven by Tire Outlet,
brought to you by Underwood Jewelers
and Renewal by Anderson on 1010XL.
Now your hosts,
Lauren Brooks, Donna Murphy, Taylor Dahl, and Mia O'Brien.
Happy Thanksgiving week, everybody. I wish I could say it was a Thanksgiving week where we were thankful for a Jaguars victory. Unfortunately, that is not the case. It felt like, to me, the Jaguars lost 41-3 on Sunday, but it wasn't that bad. It was 30-10, thanks to an, oh, by the way, touchdown in the
such
fourth
high standards.
Quarter, I know, such high standards.
Well, listen, when the first quarter flies by as quick as it did, if you know what I mean,
Let's just say that there are many a time in the press box, Mia, that I am rooting internally for a running clock. In 2017, that was more because the Jaguars were destroying other people, at least towards the end of the season. This year, it's because I know that the offense is just not going to score enough points.
Last year, it was because we just wanted to get to Trevor, and now here we are.
And that's the, I think, Donna, to me, the frustrating thing is last year there was an end goal to all the losing. Now, we're seeing at least half, if not more than half, of the stadium filled with 49ers fans. You went to the game. You understand what it was like. To me, it was so surprising that there were this many people, albeit not necessarily all from California, but this is obviously a San Francisco team. There's tons of 49ers fans in the stands, and they were louder, I thought, and more engaged than the Bills fans were a couple weeks ago.
Oh, this was insane. I've never seen a home field advantage for an away team like that. It was crazy. And
sad. Is it all because of Jimmy G?
I would say yes, but no.
Yeah, Donna got some real inside scoops from the 49ers fan base.
Right? I'm telling you, it's odd that the fans behind us, it's a lot like the Bold City Brigade. You know, they travel from everywhere. But the fans behind us were all from Connecticut. And so I guess they just travel from wherever they can. They all knew each other. Everybody, wherever they were sitting, they were all saying hi, wherever rows they were.
And you were like, I'm Rhode Island.
I know. We were. We're like, well, we're from Rhode Island.
But I cheer for the wrong team. Yeah. You
know? And I was like, I should have worn my Jimmy G shirt.
But that's what my mom was like. Mom went neutral. She just went in blue.
Okay.
So she went in whatever.
My cousin was there apparently in his Penn State shirt. So, hey, listen.
That's fine. Look, I saw and I was telling Taylor, I go, I don't know if I was more amazed by the amount of Niners fans that went or more amazed by the sporadic Patriot jerseys that we saw. I don't know why, but there were Brady jerseys just everywhere. And I'm like, that's odd.
Not like they were Jimmy G jerseys.
No.
That's interesting.
No.
Well, there's a lot of, if you said there's a lot of people from the Northeast,
right?
Even though most of them were 49ers fans, I guess there was an influx.
But
they just want to get into the warm weather.
I'm also that person that, if it's not the team on the field, why are you wearing that jersey?
I agree.
I don't like that. Or a team playing that day. But anyway, regardless.
Like to me, his cousin, why are you wearing Penn State?
Because he is living in Port Orange and just got free tickets and decided to show up, even though didn't like either team. So
love Port Orange.
Yeah, exactly.
But I asked the lady behind me, I'm like, come on. And because Jimmy was already winning. And I'm like, you guys really don't want Trey Lance starting, do you? She goes, yeah, of course we do. I'm like, why? Why? Jimmy's winning for you. I don't understand. She goes, well, yeah, we want Trey Lance. I'm like, I don't understand. And she couldn't give me an answer. And I'm just,
wasn't just her from what you said.
No.
It was pretty much their whole
family.
They
all
base.
Couldn't wait. I heard other little kids were like, are they really putting Trey in? I can't wait. Are they really? I'm like, I don't understand your fascination with a kid who hasn't even played yet.
Jimmy G, by the way, 16 of 22, .76. I mean,
yeah. I think that
again, it could have been 41-3.
Right.
Yeah. And I think for them, maybe it's just like also the breath of fresh air. And they've seen so much of kind of like the inconsistent up and downs of what Jimmy G can do. Like he'll have, but this is against Jacksonville. So he should have done this against the Jacksonville Jaguars, even though they were playing better defense the couple games previous to that. But it hasn't been an all year thing.
Correct.
So I think maybe for them, it's just kind of, they also want a breath of fresh air, and they saw some glimpses of Trey Lance that they loved, and for them maybe they're like, okay, that's our future, so we want to like get to that part of it.
Yeah, I think it's because they saw Jimmy Garoppolo and this 49ers team lose in the Super Bowl, mm-hmm. and once you see a quarterback go down, you automatically think, well, he can never win. And since then, he's been injured a lot, and mm-hmm. so, you know, there's that part of it too. And then there's just so much unknown. And some people say, you know, the devil you know is better than the mm-hmm. devil you don't know. Mm-hmm. For sports fans, it's the exact opposite. But the backup quarterback hasn't done enough wrong yet for mm-hmm. me to dislike him and want to bench him. So therefore, he must be better than the starting quarterback. I mean, yes. Florida went through that, and we'll get to the Gator football team later, but Florida went through that, and they're not even done with it, but they went through that a lot this season, that obviously the backup quarterback must be better than the starting quarterback.
Well, I think part of it, too, with Jimmy G is that they spent a number three overall pick. They traded up not once but twice to get to that number three overall spot for Trey Lance. I mean, you're mortgaging half of your future mm-hmm. on this one guy, and you're only seeing him 4% of each game.
Mm-hmm. And jealous because right. other rookie quarterbacks are getting to start. There's that part of it, too. Despite the fact that Jimmy Garoppolo is winning, they still want to know what they've got.
Right. Or despite the fact that, and I found this super interesting, I believe it was on Primetime that they had Sean Merriman on.
Yes,
and he was going on and on about how he firmly believes and he understands why Trevor Lawrence is starting from day one. He understands why Zach Wilson was starting from day one. But having pieces in place and then inserting your quarterback a la Patrick Mahomes or a la Aaron Rodgers, mm-hmm. like he firmly believes that that's the way to go. And so, I mean, if you're a 49ers fan, I mean, they have everything else in place. And so mm-hmm. I think that's where the disappointment is they feel like they're ready. They're ready to put him in and let this thing ride and have more than a $176 through the air and right. just a game manager. So, but hey, I mean, I don't think we have a game manager in Jacksonville. I just don't think they're letting him cook, if you know what I mean.
I do know what you mean, and we'll talk about cooking later as it is Thanksgiving Whoa. Week. But I think the tricky part to me is this is what's also awesome about the NFL. You watch that 49ers team against the Rams, you watch them against the Jaguars, and you think, that's a team that should be undefeated. Like, they look so incredibly good, not just offensively, defensively, whatever. All of it combined, they're an mm-hmm. incredibly tough football team. How the heck have they lost any games? And yet, that's the beauty of the NFL. And granted, Jimmy Garoppolo was hurt for a game for all yeah. those Trey Lance fans that have been screaming out there. But Jimmy G was hurt. But still, they lost to a team like in the Seahawks. And yes, at the time they had Russell Wilson. But still, that's a Seahawks team that's not what they once were. And so it's just this league is so puzzling. And so hopefully, all that to say, that the Jaguars are going to still, like they did against the Bills, win some games that we don't expect them to win.
Mm-hmm.
But this season overall has been an incredible roller coaster of we start off thinking, all right, we're going to be much better than last year, and then we fall flat on our face, and then
we see progress.
Well, and then we go 5 games yeah, without winning, but yeah. there is progress, and then all of a sudden there's 2 out of 3 wins, and yeah. okay, here we go. The Jaguars beat the Bills, and then right back to falling flat on our face because the offense can't get it together, and obviously in this game, the defense was overwhelmed by the talent, and they had injuries, and they had penalties. And I just don't know what to predict for the rest of the season. I really don't.
That's why it's hard, because I think that we went quickly from, wow, they've won 2 of these 3 games and one of those being the Bills. It wasn't pretty. It was not pretty. And there was a lot of problems on the Bills side of the ball, too, to why they probably. But the Bills honestly have to find their way right now, too.
Yeah.
But it went so quickly from that to where they're at now to miserable losses. And that's what makes it even worse. And that's what makes it, for me, like I can't sit here and tell you that they can win another game, to be honest, because they can't put points on the board. And bottom line is your defense isn't that good to suffice for not being able to score more than 14 points.
Yeah, well, because your defense isn't getting turnovers.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
If
this defense could score a la 2017,
right.
you're probably being like, whatever, we're in it. At least mm-hmm. we have a chance. But that's the problem, is as good as the defense has been in terms of creating pressure, in terms of honestly getting to the quarterback, just maybe not bringing him down, mm-hmm. then you have those penalties. I mean, Josh Allen said it after the game, like, and you know, he was like, look, I don't think anybody played their best game. And he's like, I can say that honestly. Mm-hmm. And I don't think anyone would disagree. He goes, but if you take away 2 or 3 of those penalties on that 13-minute opening drive, this is a different ball game. And I agree with him, because I think if DeJuan Smoot's sack isn't negated by the Rayshon Jenkins hold at the 50-yard line,
right.
this game is completely different.
Mm-hmm. And it certainly might have been. I do think the talent still wins out.
Correct.
I think the 49ers still win the game,
yep.
whether it's that close or not, or whether it ends up being closer or not. But overall, I mean, this is a team that's going to be penalized more than other teams. The 49ers walked out of that stadium, TIAA Bank Field, with 1 penalty. 1. But that's the way things go. When you're a better football team in the NFL, the officials don't call it. Whether you think it's fair or not, that's just the way it is. And this Jaguars team, whether it's ticky-tack fouls or things we don't think should be called at all, this Jaguars team is still going to be penalized like that. All right, there's one player that unfortunately was lost, not just for the game, but for the season. We will get to the effect of that loss and a whole lot more. You're listening to Helmets and Heels, driven by Tire Outlet on 1010 XL and 92.5 FM.
Thank you for being a friend. Travel down the road and back again. Your heart is
7 years and still going strong.
Helmets and Heels, driven by Tire Outlet.
Brought to you by Underwood Jewelers.
And Renewal by Anderson.
On 1010 XL.
We are, I don't know, not quite the Golden Girls because of our youth, but some of us are getting up there in age, so maybe the Golden Girls is appropriate for some of us. Mia, is this your selection?
Yes, this is my selection, although Taylor and I had to battle for the death.
You and RJ.
Oh, RJ and I had to battle to the death for it. I thought it was Taylor from the other side of the room when we were prepping for the show,
nice.
And I heard someone say it, and I looked over, and RJ was like, oh, wait, is that the song you sent me? And I was like, yes.
Nice.
Sorry, RJ.
Very nice.
I got no issues.
It's appropriate. None. I certainly thought of it when
first one that when I saw the word thankful, and that's what our music theme is. Right. That was the first thing that just popped in my head, and I was like, "All right, it's 3 o'clock. I'm going to fire this off to RJ now, so I claim the Golden Girls."
Good. See, my hubby went straight there too, and he because he was listening to my song, which none of y'all will have my song.
Okay.
Donna says that every
she says that every week, and I was very concerned about the Golden Girls
every
one.
Every week she's right. I thought this
and I'm right, right?
I thought this one might have been yours.
No. Well, because I'm old?
No, because you love TV.
True. And I love old TV.
And especially old TV.
Right, especially old TV. But TJ's looking at me like, why that song? I'm like, why do you got this my song?
Well, I'm intrigued.
And then he brought up this song, and I was like, I know that song, but I know somebody's going to have that song.
Well, I knew for sure when I selected my song, also no one would have my song. but I think at least Taylor will have heard it before, maybe Mia before. But either way, that's the fun part about the music theme is we don't know each other's choices, and we pick a different theme each week based off of what's going on. We could have done sad for the Jaguars, embarrassed, humiliated for the Jaguars loss, which I feel like be coming up for the next 7 weeks, but we'll get to that as it happens, or hopefully the Jaguars will defeat the Falcons, and we'll talk about that more as we go on. By the way, real quick, this is completely off sports topic, but have y'all ever done a list of everything you're grateful for?
No, but I've been told by my 9-year-old son I need to make a list of 5 things I'm thankful for.
Okay. So. Well, everything you're thankful for and 5 things are slightly different, but either way, that's going in the right direction. I will say I've done it only once, and I should do it once a year. I'm going to tell myself I'm going to do it this weekend because it really does help you think of all the things, just even the little things that, like, you don't necessarily appreciate on the daily basis. So
I do
my recommendation.
I do a nightly journal. So
I
actually write before I go to bed.
Diary.
Yeah, no, it started my 15th birthday. My aunt got me one, and she's like super grateful, super spiritual, super positivity, and so she had gotten it for me, and so I've continued it ever since.
That's fantastic.
So, and also,
how long does it take you, by the way?
30 seconds.
Oh, knowing you, I would expect it to be 30.
No, I've gotten really good at it because, like, and honestly, when people ask me, like, how I come up with, like, quick catchphrases and what have you, a lot of it is kind of formulate because I only do I write down 2 or 3 things and I kind of formulate. And so it's not, like, necessarily specific, but it could just be, like, a theme.
Okay.
So, like, for example, like, yesterday I had said to myself, Mia, you're going to go for your 2-mile run and then you're going to go do your Peloton boot camp workout and then you're going to do a core workout. And I know it's going to stink, but you got to do it. And so, like, one of the things I was thankful for was for discipline because that was what my Peloton instructor said. Motivation is great, but discipline is what we really want. And so, like, I wrote that. I didn't write down, like, thank you for, you know, letting me run. I wrote down that I'm thankful that that I was disciplined.
Good.
So.
And I will say, like, I think that is something, though, being able to walk and run, like, that is something
that is also,
some of us
absolutely
take for granted. And so, all that's good. All right. Back to things that are not so good. The Jaguars lost Jamal Agnew, wide receiver and returner. I mean, special teams extraordinaire for sure, but also one of the better receivers on this team, even though he's only played receiver for a couple seasons now. They lost him to a hip injury for the season. And Mia and I, as we've said before, we sit next to each other in the press box. So the moment that he gets tackled and he gets twisted, we all kind of let out that, oh, that's a gruesome injury sound, right? And when the press box announced later that he was questionable to return, I was shocked. We saw him, you know, limp with help into the medical tent, and then we saw him go in the locker room. And I thought, well, he's done, at least for today. I don't know about how bad the injury is long term, but I thought there's no way he's coming back into this game. So to have him questionable, I thought was a little bit of a surprise. And then I wasn't surprised at all that he was put on injured reserve for the rest of the season. Mia, how much does this loss of Agnew change this team that's already not doing well, so well offensively?
The problem was, is this is a team that once Travis Etienne went down with the Lisfranc injury, they all kind of looked at each other like, well, what do we do now?
Not right.
And they lucked out that Jamal Agnew basically could be the super sub for Travis Etienne, a poor man's Travis Etienne, if you will, albeit not necessarily a running back per se. Yeah, I don't know what they do. And even, like, you know, my mom, who really doesn't know a ton about football, she said to me, you know, as we were talking about the Jaguars' struggles on offense, she's like, can they run any jet sweeps or reverses? And I said, yeah, they run it with Jamal Agnew, and now they don't have him. So I don't really know what to do. And I think, you know, the logical solution is, you know, you play LaVisca Chenault more in the slot, you cut your losses and say, whatever, Tavon Austin, John Brown, you got to pick up the pace. You're going to be the X receiver now because we don't have anybody else that can stretch the field. And then Marvin's on the other side. And that's just what you got to roll with. And you got to target Dan Arnold more than zero times, as was targeted this weekend. And you hope James O'Shaughnessy comes back and you can run a couple two tight end sets. And like, that's it. And like, that's what you're rolling with. I don't think there's anybody on the street you're going to bring in. I mean, I know Adrian Peterson got waived the other day. I don't think he's going to suddenly be a burner for you out of the backfield. So you're going to have to figure it out. And quite frankly, and I know we're going to get into where does this offense go from here. I know everyone's so worried about injury risk. You got to let Trevor run. It's one of his great assets. It's one of his natural God-given abilities. Let the man run, because he did it in the, and we were just talking about this off the air, but on that field goal drive, I mean, he took off for that 10-yard scramble.
One of two scoring drives in the
Correct. But this was one actually before garbage time, and he took off for that 10-yard scramble, and then from there, he went 4 of 4 for 48 yards. So the run is going to set up the pass.
Yes.
So
with most teams, that means the running back. With this team, with an injured James Robinson, Taylor, that really might mean Trevor's going to have to run it more.
I think, and I think it is scary, because obviously when you start to let that quarterback go a little bit, the potential of an injury is higher. But you also have to trust him and say, hey, he's been doing this for a while. You know, like, he can take a hit. We've seen it already. We saw him come back after getting his ankle completely just crushed, stepped on. Who stepped on it?
Walker Little.
Yeah, Walker Little.
The golden child.
Yeah.
Speaking of golden girls.
Little Baselli.
I think, bottom line, Jamal Agnew has been such a big part of this offense. And you can say consistently from game to game, but then you can also look at specific games and see how much worse those games could have, how much more worse those games could have even been if there wasn't a kick six, if there wasn't two punt returns, if there wasn't a 66-yard run. How much worse would those games have been if those plays didn't happen? So, unfortunately, I think this is a major hit for the Jaguars, and it doesn't help that James Robinson is struggling with an injury, and it was the ankle and then had knee issues, and it's just, it's definitely going to hurt the Jags. But at that point, that's when you have to say, hey, now we can't do these things, so what can we do? And what you can do is use Trevor.
Yeah, and a bruised heel, to me, I mean, trying to run on that and then, oh, by the way, be tackled, and then you add a knee injury. To me, it was so obvious that James Robinson isn't the same James Robinson, at least this past weekend, and hopefully he gets better. But it even though this team is losing weapons and certainly had some injuries defensively too, at some point in time, you got to, I think, sit him just to get him healthy, because...
He said it to me, like, twice. This is now 2 weeks in a row. I didn't get the chance to go to practice today. He said to me the last 2 weeks, and, you know, knowing him now for over a year and knowing his family, I mean, I think I can have honest conversations with James, and he looked at me and was like, no, like, I without saying I'm not 100%.
Right.
I mean, he said, he's like, he goes, I only want to be on the field if I can help this team win. And if I feel 100%, because I don't want to be thinking about it.
Yeah. And that's where that decision comes too. Like,
right.
Are you hurting the team more?
That
not
kid
James.
Would never say
the
that.
The coach is putting somebody in who isn't 100%. you are hurting the team even more and potentially hurting James Robinson even more.
Yeah, and hopefully he maybe gets, you know, some rest this week and this weekend. Maybe against the Falcons they decide not to play him. And I understand for everyone saying, well, we've already talked about how bad this offense is. Where are you going to get some playmakers? Well, right now, J-Rob just may need a little bit of time in order to heal. Because, again, what we saw this past week in Donna against the 49ers, that's not the J-Rob that we've come to know. Normally, he never gets negative yardage, right? Mm-hmm. Like, he's the guy who at least gets a couple yards, even mm-hmm. when we don't think he's going to get anything. And this past weekend, he was getting pushed back multiple times.
And that knee came out of nowhere. Like, we knew the heel, but the knee injury came out of nowhere. So,
but I would think if you've danced, right? Like, mm-hmm. if you're shifting your weight differently on your foot because of that pain mm-hmm. on the heel, you're much more likely to probably tweak or torque your knee.
You are, yeah. And that'll happen, especially if you're putting more emphasis on one leg, then yeah. something else is going to happen with the other side.
Yep. So whenever you're like favoring right. a certain side, yeah.
So, and to Mia's point, and we heard Urban talk about this yesterday, you know, James, the running back, is a quiet guy. So I'm going to have to talk to him about it. But he's, you know, he's a strong guy and nobody's tougher. Well, no, you don't have to talk to
if
him about
if the toughest guy on the team
doesn't matter.
Is saying he doesn't feel 100%, he does not feel 100%.
Then mm-hmm. you don't play him.
Yeah,
that it's simple as that. You don't want to ruin your stud running back, your only good running back. So you sit him down and you say, you're not going until we are clearing you. I don't want to hear if, ands, or buts.
And I do want,
I'm the coach.
I do want to note, I have the box score in front of me. Do you know Carlos Hyde did not get a single carry in yeah. this game? Yeah. He was on the field, I think, for like four or five. I didn't see the actual snap count, but he was targeted once in the receiving game. And he didn't have any carries. And this is, of course, Carlos Hyde, former Buckeye, Urban's, you know, well, we have Carlos. James Robinson had 12 carries. Trevor had 3. Jamal Agnew, 1. Mm-hmm. That's 16 running plays to 25 passing plays, which actually, I mean, isn't a terrible discrepancy there.
What's terrible is that they only had that many, 44 plays yep. overall yeah. because the 49ers were holding the ball so yep. long. But yeah, when you find yourself down 17-0, you're not going to have the chances to run the ball. Although I was surprised Carlos Hyde didn't get more carries because of the nature of James Robinson's injuries, but also the fact that in every other game, he's been utilized yep. a lot more than what we saw. Look, the whole offense is broken, and it's at this point in time, whether the Jaguars beat the Falcons or not, it's at this point in time when fans are starting to clamor for changes. Mm-hmm. Even though it's only halfway through, a little over halfway through the first season under Urban Meyer in this regime, fans are already starting to try and make sure that Trevor Lawrence does not get scarred from his rookie mm-hmm. season. And because of the lack of weapons around him and at times the offensive line collapsing, they're so concerned that this Trevor Lawrence, who they pined for and wanted their team to lose for, is going to end up with some deep scar tissue because of this rookie season. So we will certainly we will see what the Jaguars do against the Falcons. We'll talk about that game a little bit later. But overall, will there be coaching staff changes made later this season? Who knows? There were some in Gainesville. We will certainly talk about that. But when we come back, RJ's got a question for us. We've got to find out the answer and also update everybody's wins and losses. That is coming up next. You're listening to Helmets and Heels, driven by Tyra Ellett on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
I have to thank Mama for the cooking, Daddy for the whooping, the devil for the trouble that I get into. I got to give credit where credit is due. I thank the bank for the money. Thank God for you.
Helmets and Heels, because hats and shoes just doesn't have the same ring.
Driven by Tire Outlet.
Brought to you by Underwood Jewelers.
And Renewal by Anderson.
On 1010XL.
A strong heart and a willing hand. And that's a secret to my success.
A little band called Sawyer Brown. The song is called Thank God for You.
Heard of
I
him.
Don't know if, yeah, you've heard of him? The band? Awesome. It's a probably like I would say 80s, 90s country. And so when I think of thinking in general, for me it's always I got to thank God for everything that I have and, you know, all the people in my life and everything like that. And so to me, this song is awesome, too, because it goes individually in things. I got to thank Mama for the cooking, Daddy for the whooping. Like, I love stuff like that. Because it's important, you know? The cooking's good, but also the whooping is important or else you don't get the discipline that Mia has to this day. And I'll take listeners inside the business. in the break, we were talking about food, delicious food. And Mia, you're making Brussels sprouts for Thanksgiving along with stuffing slash dressing slash...
It's stuffing, Laura.
Whatever.
It's stuffing. It's stuffing. It says stuffing on the bag that
it
I picked
does.
Up at Publix
but
today.
But as I always try to educate freaking Hayes every year, stuffing goes in the turkey or in the bird. Dressing is if it's not in the bird. That is
dressing,
technically the difference.
Dressing
that's what
is,
I was taught by Brian.
Dressing is what you put on a salad.
Yep.
That's salad dressing, but either way.
Us northerners.
But yeah, I'm also making
stuffing.
The Brussels sprouts.
I love food.
I'm also making the Brussels sprouts because...
We've never had Brussels sprouts for Thanksgiving.
My friends here... Well, I've made it for several, like... friend gatherings, and mm-hmm. apparently that's my specialty. My mom's recipe actually is, so you toss them in balsamic vinaigrette, throw them and roast them. Mm-hmm. She actually does grapes, so it's grapes and nuts.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's too healthy.
So I actually do bacon bits with it, which I forgot to pick up the bacon, so thank you for inadvertently reminding me to go pick some up. So I do it with bacon and then pecan halves, and then roast it all, which I started doing it in the air fryer once I got my air fryer last year, and it has been a revelation.
Yeah, my girlfriend did Brussels sprouts in the air fryer last night, too, and it made me think, we've never had that, so maybe we should incorporate that. But Brussels sprouts are not on our family menu. We're more like green bean casserole. Mm-hmm. A lot of casseroles, here in the South.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't add butter and cheese, I don't know if you can eat it on Thanksgiving. All right, RJ, it's your turn to take it away.
Who will play better? Brought to you by Renewal by Andersen. A better way to a better window.
My name is Bobbito Garcia, a.k.a. DJ Cucumber Slice. And right now, I'm slicing it up on MI for my man, Mamelo.
Matt Ryan of the Falcons.
Ryan. Looking deep downfield. Matt Ryan finding Cordero Patterson. And Patterson's got a touchdown.
Oh, folks, this is the future of the game right here.
Trevor Lawrence of the Jags.
From the 41. Long. With time. Throwing deep.
I should just disqualify every single one of you talking about dressing and stuffing. It's dressing.
Stuffing.
See, I try to educate the people,
dressing.
RJ.
In California?
If it's in
not
the
California,
bird,
it's just
stuffing.
It's just
not
that's
California.
What it is.
Stuffing.
It's just
because you stuff
what
your face with
do.
The stuffing.
Why are we even I'm not gonna go that far. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another rousing edition of Who Will Play Better, where everything is made up and the points don't matter and our contestants do not know how dressing and stuffing is different. Except for one, Lauren Brooks.
Thank
I may
you.
Give her a point. It is Thanksgiving.
Whoop,
may just
whoop.
Have to give her a point off
Thank
the strength.
You.
Take everybody else because, listen, we talked about tight ends last week.
And I suck.
That worked out real well.
Can you give me like an extra point for just sucking?
I was really
can
thinking, I was like, should
point?
We even count this at all?
Wait, can I make a quick note about that?
Yeah.
Coaches screwed
so
us
right
on
after
this.
We had our right after we had our poll with RJ, mm-hmm. the next day I get a text from my NBC sister station in Washington and they do a fantasy show every week. And she specifically wanted Dan Arnold video, expecting Dan Arnold to be a fantasy star. So you weren't alone, Donna. You weren't alone. Apparently NBC Sports Washington also. They also thought Dan would, you know. Hey, Arnold!
The coaches screwed me. Do I get, like, any kind of extra? No.
You chose who you chose? We didn't know it was going to be that bad. Taylor, also, with your second question about who would have more yards as a team, you were defeated mm-hmm. by 133 yards.
I tried to give him
333
love.
200.
Nothing.
Oh, hey there.
Total yards.
I also blame the coaches.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm beginning to now. I'm trying to find ways in order for this to be more.
Can we pick different teams?
Listen, I'm trying to figure out ways in which this can be. Fun where the Jags, if you choose them, don't lose.
Well, at least they have an opponent that's similar to them this
week.
Well, we said that about the Texans in week one. So we asked this question, who will be better in terms, because both were bad in their previous games, who will be better in third down efficiency?
I thought we were just going to do who's going to score more. One team only scored 10, the other one scored 0, but that works too.
Hey, the Jaguars were 5 for 11 on third down against the Niners. 8 of those first downs came from passing, 5 rushing, 1 from a penalty against the 49ers.
The only penalty against the 49ers.
Right. 2 for 11 were the Falcons in their game. 7 passing, 3 rushing, 1 coming on the strength of penalties. That's how many first downs they had in
total. What it's worth, I'm looking at that game's box score.
Right.
The Patriots were only 4 of 12 on third down in that game. So I'm kind of happy that I didn't watch that game because, yikes.
It was a lot of Patriots defense. A lot.
Exactly. So who is going to be better on third down? Ladies, let me know.
I'm going to say Falcons because I just think it's been a repetitive issue for the Jaguars offense. I haven't gone through and looked at all the Falcons numbers, but I do know the Falcons were playing probably the best defense, if not one of the top three defenses in the league right now. The Falcons were playing as in against the Pats. And so I think that was rightfully so for the Patriots to do that. So I'm going to say the Falcons are going to be better.
Donna?
Atlanta sucks, man. I'm giving Jacksonville one more chance. And if they...
You said that last week.
This is their last chance.
And the week before.
No, I did not. This is their last chance. And if they give me a zero again, if I lose... I'm not picking them again for the rest of the year.
Didn't we say that, like, after week 3?
No. So, I'm picking the Jags on this one. That's it.
Mia?
The week prior to that Patriots debacle, Atlanta was 1 of 11 on third down against the Cowboys.
The week Another good defense.
Yeah, exactly. The week before, against the New Orleans Saints defense, which is also pretty
good. Another good defense.
5 of 13.
They've had a rough little outing.
Jekyll and Hyde. Jekyll and Hyde. Which Matt Ryan will we see? Well, let's look at that game against the Saints. And, oh, wait for it. Where is our guy Kyle Pitts? 3 catches for 62 yards in that game. So, yeah. 2 words. Kyle Pitts. I'm picking the Falcons.
All right. I will actually go with Donna. I will say that the Jaguars are going to somehow, some way, have third down and manageable this week because it's been completely the opposite as of late. The reason they're so bad on third down is not just necessarily play calling. It's because they're always behind the sticks, whether it's penalties, or whether it's just bad execution, bad drops, you know, you name it. The Jaguars end up being in third and long all the time. But I will say against the Falcons, the Jaguars offense rights the ship, at least for this week, and the Jaguars. So Donna and I have the Jags. Mia and Taylor have the Atlanta Falcons.
Look, you have nice tape for you right there. Okay, coaching staff. Good tape.
Nice tape. I will say.
Whether or not they watch it is something different.
Yeah. I will say even like for the season, third down conversion percentages, Jags are dead last at 31.67.
Oh, yeah.
But Falcons aren't that much better, but they sit at 19th at 38.46.
Well, there you have it. This game, it's funny. Both the games that I have to watch this weekend are like two bad teams, right? You've got Florida and Florida State battling for bowl eligibility.
It's eligibility bowl to you, okay?
It's the eligible.
It's the eligible.
It's the eligible.
Does this decide that potentially?
Yes.
No, not potentially.
For both.
100%.
For both
teams. They both have 5
whoever
wins.
Whoever wins gets to 6 wins and is bowl eligible. Whoever loses and
goes home.
Let's just call it like we see it. One team has a coach. One team doesn't. One team has an interim coach. The other team, will not be bowl eligible. Obviously, when FSU started 0-4 earlier this season, that's where people thought they were headed is to be not bowl eligible. They've had this massive resurgence. Jordan Travis has led them to great heights as far as in comparison to the beginning of the season.
Mm-hmm.
And that game, we were talking off air about FSU-Boston College, such a great game on this past Saturday. And then when it comes to Sunday, it's the Jaguars and the Falcons. Like, I'm sorry, but I can't get excited about these two teams. Like, I'll be there. I'll be watching.
I'll be at both games.
Oh, very nice.
How do you think I feel?
Well, but Saturday we'll at least have...
I'm hitting Pierce County, Peach County on Friday night, though, so I'm going to get at least a good game to start my weekend.
There you go. And Saturday at least we'll have life blood to it, right? Like, there's still going to be passion.
It is
going to
be, right.
Fan bases. They hate each other.
It's a nooner, so...
Yeah, they'll be drunk early.
Right. I mean, I think also I'm curious the ratio of Gator fans to Noles fans, knowing the momentum that one side has and the lack thereof.
I still think it'll be...
50-50?
No. I still predominantly think there will be Gator fans because you've got so many Gator season tickets, season ticket holders that are not going to just skip the game. But will there be more FSU fans than 2 months ago had this game been played? Of course.
Will there be more Falcons fans than Jags fans on Sunday?
No. I don't think so because they're terrible. Though, yes, the 49ers had a sub-500 record coming to town, that's different. They had momentum, especially coming off of their Monday night win. The Falcons, they're a team that I'm not sure they know what's going to fix them other than maybe a new quarterback, and they still have other issues too. So to me, it's like the clash of the bad teams.
The Niners don't.
Yeah, Niners hadn't been here since 2006.
Yeah, it had been 15
years. Or 2005,
years.
Yeah, 15 years.
Yeah, but as far as the Falcons go, yeah, at least the Jags and Falcons play every preseason, it seems like, no matter what, because that's so regional. All right, well, we talked about the loss of Jamal Agnew earlier. Mia, take us through the rest, of the Jaguars' injuries.
The personal injury attorneys of Farrah and Farrah present this injury update. Farrah and Farrah, protecting you and your family since 1979.
Jay Tufele joined Brandon Linder and James O'Shaughnessy today among the Jaguars designated to return off the reserve injured list, which is a good thing considering the other injuries the Jags team incurred this week. As we mentioned, wide receiver and return man Jamal Agnew officially placed on season-ending IR with a hip injury yesterday. Agnew had 350 yards of total offense and 2 touchdowns in his first real year as a wide receiver, in addition to 2 returns for touchdowns. Shaq Griffin suffered a concussion during Sunday's loss to the 49ers and is in the concussion protocol. Urban Meyer was optimistic about Griffin's odds of playing this week against the Falcons. Fellow cornerback Tyson Campbell suffered an AC joint sprain. Meyer also optimistic about his chances to play this Sunday. Andre Sisco suffered a groin injury. He is also expected to be back for this week's game, as is Cam Robinson, who suffered a knee injury. This has been the Farrah and Farrah Injury Update.
All right, well done, Mia, and certainly a great question by you, RJ, posed to us earlier in the segment. When we come back, we're going to get to a story that I think is absolutely despicable, and it has nothing to do with the Jaguars, so at least there's that. You're listening to Helmets and Heels, driven by Tire Outlet. When we come back, we'll get to that awful story right here on 1010 XL 92.5 FM.
Yeah, I'm faithful. Scratch that, baby, I'm faithful. Gotta say it's really been a while.
Stilettos and sabermetrics.
Helmets and Heels, driven by Tire Outlet.
Brought to you by Underwood Jewelers.
And Renewal by Anderson.
On 1010 XL.
Let's smile, smile. Every day, Groundhog Day. Going through motions, felt so fake. Not myself, not my best. Felt like I failed the test.
Our music theme tonight, songs that make us think of what we're thankful for or just remind us to be thankful. Normally I can tell whose song it is because the person is dancing. Well, unfortunately for our show, Mia dances to every song, so I have no idea whose song it actually is. But Taylor, this is yours.
This is Katy Perry. It's called Smile.
But I thought it was Katy Perry.
Yeah, the whole song though is pretty much about her like being in like a low place and getting out of that and being thankful for everything that year that got her through that low place. So
yeah, it's called Wine.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what gets you through.
Vodka for me, but.
Okay. Hey, we each have our
rum
own friend.
For Donna.
Yep. Mia, what's your go-to?
4.
Drinking.
Drinking.
She was not listening.
I was sorry. I was looking at basketball scores because we're going to be talking basketball in the next segment. Can you repeat the question?
Well, she said wine gets her through the bad times. I said vodka. Donna's is rum. And so she said, what is yours?
You got to be the opposite.
Through the bad
whiskey.
Times? Yeah. Well, I mean, whiskey sour and gin and tonic are my go-to.
There you go.
So, okay.
Yeah. That's through the good and the bad times.
And that's true. Yes. Wine is always good for good times as well. Same with vodka. Same with rum. But yes, there are times that it gets you through. All right, Taylor, speaking of bad times, take me up to Chicago and what the heck is going on?
Well, it's at the point now where obviously fans have wanted Matt Nagy gone for a while. This started
like before this year.
Pre this season. This season, I think, was kind of like that final test. Like, okay, you have one more chance to try to fix things, especially when they did go get Justin Fields. They said, okay, let's see what you can do with this and what you could do offensively to figure out things. And then as the offseason progressed and he still named Andy Dalton the starter, and it was almost from the get-go that fans are like, okay, this isn't going to work, but like, what do you do preseason? But they're to the point now where there's rumors that he's completely lost the locker room. Apparently Allen Robinson came out and said when they signed Andy Dalton, the locker room was already mad. And so I think even pre to March, they had already kind of given up, and then they had a little hope because they did make some moves and go get Justin Fields. They had a good draft. So they were like, okay, like maybe we've got some things going on. But now it's to the point where nothing's changed. This team still has averaged like 18 and a half points a game since Matt Nagy's been here. And that doesn't look to be changing.
That sounds nice.
And that doesn't look to be changing. So, which I spoke on here because when I went to the Bucks-Bears game, which was awful, they were chanting fire, like, fire Matt Nagy, fire Nagy chants there. And I've seen several videos of them at the stadium, at the Bears stadium doing that. Now it's even spread to Bulls games. There was more videos coming out where at the Bulls game last night at in the United Center, they were cheering fire Nagy. But the one, rightfully so, I think that as adults, these guys, they're just frustrated. And when they get to this point, they're making these chants because they're trying to hear like, hey, listen to us for once, because you're not listening to us at any other time. But I think they crossed the line in this particular situation. When I first saw it, which was a video that was released by someone who was at a high school football game, which obviously we have the playoffs going on here. They're also going on all over the country. So two of the teams actually near Chicago, it was Lake Forest, which Matt Nagy's son attends, and then Cary Grove. So they're pretty close schools, probably rivalries, if not rivalries, just because they're close in vicinity. But they played in the high school football game, and I'm not even sure what position Nagy's son plays, to be honest with you, but chant started at this football game while Matt Nagy's son is playing in a high school playoff football game, chanting fire Nagy. Matt Nagy was also at this game. So when I first saw it, I was like very angry because I'm like, this is just so disrespectful to me. Like there is a line. And at some point you have to realize like these men also have families, and this is his son who has no part in this whatsoever. As the stories progressed, they've kind of came out and said they found out it was the opposing school's student section saying it. So I think for that, for them necessarily, they probably don't even know that much of why Matt Nagy needs to get fired. They probably are just doing it to mess with Nagy's kid who's playing in this football game, and they saw Matt Nagy
they're
and
being
thought
mean
it'd be
girls.
Funny. Yeah, they're yeah. being mean high school students. So that changed it a little bit for me because I'm like, who knows what some of these kids chant at high school football games anymore to like get back at their opponent. But this is just the level to me at where they've come in Chicago. And then now here you go where they come out today saying, well, they're going to fire Matt Nagy after Thanksgiving. And it just makes zero sense to
almost
me.
Like they were going to fire Dan Mullen after this upcoming Saturday's game.
Yeah. It just makes no sense because in my head, I'm like, if you've already made this decision and it's already a known thing, then just do it, because you can't use the excuse, well, there's a game on Thursday. Okay, well, you know what? He had COVID and missed a game, and we played 10 times better the game he wasn't there. So you can't use that as an excuse. Now you're going to look like an idiot if by some chance they, with Andy Dalton, go and beat the Lions, which I wouldn't be surprised if we gave the Lions the first win, to be honest. But if we played them like we did earlier in the season and completely crushed them, then you look like an idiot for firing a coach after you win big, you know? So it's just a disaster in Chicago. But these fire Nagy chants are all over, and it's getting, I mean, now it's trickling down to the kids in high school.
Well, that's what I was just trying to Google. Wasn't there an instance last year of fans showing up to a GM's kids game? I'm trying to remember if that was a thing that happened.
I don't remember.
For some reason, I remember. Maybe it was a different sport, but fans are called fans for a reason. They're fanatical.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't even know if fanatical is a word. But that's what they are.
Mm-hmm. That's what fan comes from, fanatics.
Correct. Yeah.
And well, fanatical is the
and
adjective.
And Nagy even came out and in his presser today addressed it and said, look, I get it. Like, they're angry. Things aren't going the way they want them to go. It's part, like, as a coach, you sign up for this. You know what you could potentially get yourself into if things don't go the way the city wants.
And but you don't expect that.
And that's what he said. But I was a dad trying to enjoy my son's high school football game. And so it's not the most ideal situation to be hearing something like that.
No. And I'm honestly, like, as much as you want him to be able to support his son, I'm honestly surprised if he was just, like, out in the stands. Like, you almost, if you're him at this point, want to be like in a golf cart in the end zone, like separated from everybody with like a hoodie up, just because people are crazy.
Yes.
And it just gets frustrating, I think, to think of kids growing up with that surrounding them.
Yep.
I forget, who was it? It was Dabo Swinney a couple weeks ago when Clemson wasn't playing so well. And they asked him, you know, what it's like to be losing. And he said, basically, it's almost like No one wants to make eye contact with you. No one wants to even talk to you. Like, it's just really awkward mm-hmm. because there's this aura around you, and it's like the black cloud. And that's a guy who has recently won two yeah. national championships with his team. But obviously, we all know in sports it can change so fast. But still, it just I would like to hope that people out there are a little bit more decent than that. But then again, sports make you crazy. Mm-hmm. Donna, on the flip side, your head coach is seeing much more success this season than last season. Bill Belichick and Mac Jones seem to yes. have found something. And obviously, Josh McDaniels, the offensive coordinator, doing a great job there, too. Is Mac Jones the replacement for Tom Brady? Like, are we looking at the long-term Patriots quarterback?
It's
beginning to look a lot like Christmas.
It is.
Yes, it is.
It's pretty up in New England. And when you do the comparisons, it's kind of eerie.
Really?
When you see the beginning. Yeah, it's very eerie to see the similarities between the beginnings of their first seasons. Now, obviously, Brady didn't come in. And start his rookie year. It would be his second year because he sat behind Bledsoe. But Brady's first full year and Mac Jones's rookie year, they're extremely similar. But after Thursday's game, it was funny because they interviewed Kyle Van Noy on NFL Network, and even they asked him about it, and he's like, I'm not into comparing, but I'll just say that they're both winners. And that's what he said and left it at that. But I'll say that it's crazy to think that, you know, when you look at the standings right now and after Buffalo losing
right.
and the Titans losing, that New England's sitting there third in the East.
They could have the number one seed in the playoffs.
And it's insane.
It's wild.
It's crazy how it's flip-flopped. I love this sport. And they've won five in a row. And it's just crazy. But it's all about the running game. Mac has just done exactly what Bill wants him to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's just doing his job, not making stupid mistakes. Yeah. He's managing the game.
What Cam
well.
Couldn't do.
Right. Yeah. Cam's just.
Although I would like to note
Cam's
as we're
going.
Well, that's not Cam's game.
Right. It's yeah. not Cam's game. And I would like to note as we're going around the league, Cam Newton's entrance to I'm Coming Home
yes.
at Bank of America Stadium. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. But that's because. That they want, like, that works. He can right. be Cam there. He was never going to be able to be Cam with Belichick.
No, and you know what Cam did? Cam lost. Cam lost this past Sunday. Because you know what Cam's going to do? Cam's going to keep losing.
Cam's going to be
that's
Cam.
What Cam does.
Cam's going to be Cam.
Right.
It's also a bad team. And I think that when you look around the league, which this is one thing, maybe 2-3 weeks in, you could confidently say, like, hey, these are the best teams. These are the ones that are going to struggle. And, like, there's a lot of questions of, like, who is actually really good. Who is kind of favoring? And like for me, the Patriots, obviously we talked about it last week where it was like how much Mac going to the Patriots helped him. And I think it was. I think that Belichick is perfect for Mac Jones because he will do kind of what Belichick wants, but mm-hmm. also he knows what Mac can do and he'll work around that. And a lot of that is the run game. And a lot of that is a really good defense right now. Mm-hmm. They've also had a very nice schedule. Like their wins have mm-hmm. been 2 to the Jets, Houston, Panthers, Falcons, Chargers with a struggling Herbert at that point. Browns with no Hunt.
They win the games they're supposed to win.
Yeah, and that's what it's helping them a lot. And they still have the Jags and Dolphins to play.
Right.
So for me, I'm interested to see that because they also have the Bills twice, the Titans, and the Colts.
Yep.
Those ones, to me, I think will really show how much is Mac Jones like the Patriots right now and how much is him being kind of helped by everything else.
Speaking of helped by everything else, I realized we didn't read off this stat when we were talking about the loss of Jamal Agnew.
Yes.
Shout out to John Shipley of Sports Illustrated for sharing this one. Per Football Outsiders, the average starting field position in the NFL this year is the 28.27-yard line. The Jaguars ranked dead last with an average of starting at the 25.33. They also just lost one of the league's best return men, and as we know, they tend to have a penalty once they start on 1st and 10, and then mm-hmm. they end up being at the 15-yard line. New England is first in that category. Their average starting field position is the 32.58-yard line.
Yep. So and, special teams
little things, right.
Huge.
Little things like that help a rookie quarterback, and that's mm-hmm. what Trevor Lawrence is not getting right now. Justin Fields is not getting right now. Mm-hmm. Zach Wilson is not getting right now. And I don't care how good the defense in Chicago or even the defense of late here in Jacksonville has been. When you're starting behind the eight ball,
mm-hmm.
it's tough. And Mac Jones is never behind the eight ball because they're disciplined.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have a lot of penalties. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Mm-mm.
Their defense is going to get force three and outs consistently. And the special teams does their job.
And I think that's of all the things that we've come to be disappointed in this season for the Jaguars, to me, one of the first things is the special teams. I mean, Urban Meyer prides himself on that, and it's been an utter disaster. I mean, obviously the offense itself is also broken, but you can point to some things for that. To not have your punter on the field when he's supposed to be on the field, and whether you want to say that's the coach's fault or whether you want to say that's Logan Cook's fault, I vividly remember sitting again next to me in the press box, and she goes, "Oh, they're going for it on 4th and 26. And I was like, "No, what? They're punting, but Logan Cook is on the sidelines. Like, I can see him right in front
I
of me.
I wish they would have snapped it.
And I know.
D-Rock said it, well. And I wish they would have snapped it.
And I know full well they're punting. There's no way they're going for it. And it's like, but I see Cook. What are we doing? Logan Cook has been an awesome player, an awesome punter for this football team. It's all not boiling down to his mistake. Obviously, it ended up being okay. But, like, it's the little things that I want them to be terrified almost of making, right? Because that's at least the sense that I get, that in New England, you are terrified of making one of those mistakes. You want to do everything to the nth degree, and you want to be super focused and laser focused on the details. And this team is not. We've had the 12 men on the field. And then you see, especially watching from the press box, you see guys running off late or not knowing exactly. Chase on one time runs off the field. Kalavon Chase on runs off the field to only then realize he's supposed to be on the field, turns around, runs back on. Now he looks out of position. I mean, that's a lot of stuff that you don't necessarily always get from the television angle or the cameras, because they're focused on other stuff. And you're just sitting there going, what are they doing? And again, I thought this was a coach who was going to come in here and not just build a great culture, because I think the culture's fine. But I care way more about what happens between those.
The discipline.
Yeah, between those.
That's been the buzzword
lines.
Of the show, by the way, for those just tuning
absolutely.
In.
Absolutely.
And I think, Lauren,
during Thanksgiving week of all weeks.
Yeah, you're going to be disciplined and make sure you do that turkey trot, Taylor, Thursday morning.
We'll see. We'll
eat all those mashed potatoes.
You don't have to trot. You can, walk. You can waddle like a turkey.
I will, because we were talking about the penalties. But, and just for reference, because Jaguars total all overall against yards are kind of middle of the pack, but the ones that frustrate me the most for the Bears and for the Jags are always the pre-snap, and they have the fourth most pre-snap penalties in the league.
Yeah.
Like, what? Those are the things that are frustrating. Like, you haven't even been able to run a play yet. Well, they're tied for second. So the most is Cleveland with 33, and then Tampa, Carolina, and Jacksonville all have 30. 30 pre-snap penalties.
Surprise that Tampa does, because the other two teams.
A highly penalized team.
Oh, yeah.
But they make up for it.
Yeah, because Tom Brady.
Right, with Tom Brady.
It's all Jensen, I'll tell you that right now. It's all that center.
The thing, and this is the one thing I want to close. I know we got to head to break in a bit, and I was thinking about this while I was working out at the gym this morning. Hashtag discipline.
One of your three workouts.
Yes, yeah. Today I just did. I actually did a 45-minute boot camp for the first time. Usually I do 30 minutes tonight.
Oh, the run, and then the Peloton, and then the core, that was yesterday?
Yeah, that was yesterday. I had time yesterday. Today was a 45-minute boot camp. Anyways, I digress. Was thinking about the game last night.
Yeah.
How many of those dudes in Tampa, and I know, yes, they signed Brady, and Brady brings all his friends in, and Julian Edelman saying that he tried to bring him too. How many of those dudes, particularly along the offensive line, were drafted by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? Mm-hmm. There's just something to be said for that. Mm-hmm. And yes, the penalties, and yes, they're overcoming it because of Brady and this, that, and the other, but like, there's just something to be said about how many of those dudes, from Mike Evans, who is 28 years old and is the all-time leader in receptions in Tampa, to Chris Godwin, you got Ali Marpet, who, I know he was hurt last night. He's a D3 guy. That was when my dad texted me. He goes, "Yo, isn't this the guy from Hobart?" And I was like, "Yeah, it is." You got Tristan.
The only family in the country who texts
right.
About
oh, listen, we love Ali our we love our D3 football up in upstate New York, man, and we also love the Iowa Hawkeyes. And my dog Tristan Wirfs, drink at right tackle. Like, they drafted them and they have groomed them, and that's what Bill Belichick does in New England, and that is what they've done in Tampa. And inherently, as we now segue into college football in the next segment, that's what the Jacksonville Jaguars need to do. That's what the Florida Gators need to do. That's what every program needs to do. Build, if you're going to build a culture, you got to build it with your guys. Mm-hmm. Unless you're going to just jettison in a Brady, which is a once-in-a-lifetime situation.
But the good news is, here, we have Trevor Lawrence. Mm-hmm. So we don't have to bring in a quarterback from anywhere
else.
You
got to start drafting everybody else,
though. You just really have to build up, the offense. All right, I'm not going to go to break just yet, because we do have the college football playoff top 25. Number one is Georgia. We all knew that. They remain undefeated. Number two is Ohio State. They are now up a spot because they were at number three or four. Actually, they were at
four.
They were at four because Oregon was three, then Oregon lost. So now Ohio State really
jumped
2 spots.
And Michigan State obviously was beat by Ohio State.
Right. So Ohio State now
is for Cincinnati.
Justice in place number two. They're 10-1. Alabama 10-1 also. Obviously, Ohio State lost at home to Oregon earlier this season. And then Alabama, their only loss to Texas A&M on a field goal late by Seth Small. So Alabama number three. And like usual, I'm having to buy time.
Taylor, if it's Notre Dame,
Notre Dame started.
Yes! Justice for Cincinnati! Let's go!
Well, there you have it. I was not exactly expecting that, but then again, I wasn't sure who else was going to take that spot. All right, so there you go. When we come back, we will get it to college football, or keep it on college football, now that we've started that conversation. So again, Georgia 1, Ohio State 2, Alabama 3, Cincinnati 4. I do think college football fans think that the only team that can really take it to Georgia might be Ohio State. They would meet in the final if things all go according to plan the way that the brackets stand now, because Georgia would, of course, face off against Cincinnati, a rematch of the bowl game from last season, and then Ohio State and Alabama, and certainly they've met the playoffs as well. You're listening to Helmets and Heels, driven by Tire Outlet on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Thank you for teaching me how to love, showing me what the word means, what I've been dreaming of, and now I know.
7 years and still going strong.
Helmets and Heels, driven by Tire Outlet.
Brought to you by Underwood Jewelers.
And Renewal by Anderson.
On 1010XL.
Showing me my emotions, letting me know what's real.
We said earlier in the show that Donna loves old TV. This sure sounds like a song from the older
ages. It's not older
because of the copy.
It's what, 90s? It's 90s.
It just sounds so far away.
Yeah.
What is this, Donna?
This is a song by Tyler Collins, and she's absolutely beautiful. Correct, RJ?
RJ confirms.
I've never heard
of Tyler Collins.
I emailed this to him, and I said, don't be mad because she's so beautiful. And he's been yelling at me in the break saying, she is absolutely gorgeous. But this song...
She is.
Was one of the very first songs that I got to do, just me entering the, what we called the big girls dance group.
Okay.
The older girls. I was the only girl that was allowed in the big girls dance group. And this was their dance number. So,
love it.
Yeah. So that's when you guys said thank you. I was like, oh, I did a song with the big girls.
And you
girls.
Were thankful to be with the big
and
girls.
I was so thankful. Yes, I was. And so this is called Thanks to You.
Well done. Good selection. Mm-hmm. I've loved everybody's. We have one more. That means RJ is up next. And considering he lost out on the Golden Girls theme,
sorry, RJ.
We don't know what he will have picked, but we'll find out in a few minutes. All right, let's get it to the subject that I tried to avoid last week, Dan Mullen and the situation in Gainesville. The reason I tried to avoid it is because I felt like the inevitable was coming, and that is Dan Mullen would be fired. So there was really no point in talking about it until he was fired.
Mm-hmm.
We've hit rock bottom in certain ways at the University of Florida. Have other coaches been worse? Absolutely. Florida went 4-12 in 2013 under Will Muschamp. McElwain said that there were death threats against him, and that was a complete bold-faced lie. That's another type of rock bottom. But rock bottom for me is when you have a really good offensive play caller and a guy who is supposedly known as being a really good head coach because he was able to take Mississippi State to places that they'd never been to before, and the team completely gives up on them. The team gave up on the entire staff. You saw this Gators team who battled Alabama, and that, you know, story or that game is almost famous at this point in time because of such a close loss. It went from that in September, late September, to a team that lost to a South Carolina team with a third-string quarterback, to another team that, frankly, almost lost to Samford. You can look at the box score and say, oh, well, it was 70-52. There were moments in that game Samford was leading by double digits. And then, obviously, to a team that lost, went on the road to Missouri and lost in the fashion that they did, which is basically their coach gave up trying to win the game. Mm-hmm. And that was very obvious in watching it. And even dating back to the loss at Kentucky, that's kind of where this season unraveled. Dan Mullen was a guy, I wasn't ready to fire him because of the fact that I thought, well, the facilities are almost built, and that indoor practice facility is huge, whether you think that matters to these kids nowadays, or it should matter to these kids nowadays or not. It does matter to these kids. And I guess I should say teenagers, not really kids. But I thought maybe once the facility was built once he's gotten his, you know, guys in place as far as staff is concerned, because while, yes, all of the staff were hand-selected by him, he's now realized certain guys are not going to work out in their positions. So I thought, all right, well, maybe he fires some people, and going into next year, we figure out the quarterback situation, and everything is fine. He's still a really good play caller, still a really good quarterbacks guy, and he seems like he, you know, loves the University of Florida where he's at, because he spent nine seasons in Starkville, Mississippi. And in comparison, obviously, that's a vast difference between there and the University of Florida. And so to have someone end up being arrogant, defensive about, you know, getting called on for mistakes. And that's one thing I will say, side note, as far as Urban Meyer and the Jaguars, he's not been defensive one time. He may not know all the answers, which is a whole separate issue. Mm-hmm. But that's another conversation. But Dan Mullen was so arrogant, so defensive, and at some point in time, you look up and you say, "I'm not sure that he really wants this job anymore." And so for me, it's frustrating that he's going to earn all $12 million of the buyout. It could have been higher had they not given him the extension when they did. But he chose not to coach against FSU because he didn't want to be a distraction. To me, if I'm Scott Strickland, I honestly don't even give him the option. Mm-hmm. And I know everybody handles that last game differently once a coach has been fired. But for me, you're coaching that last game. There are seniors and other players who committed to you to come to this university. You're going to go out and you're going to coach your butt off. And I better see damn well better coaching than I've seen the last few weeks. But you're going to coach your butt off. And then you're going to say goodbye. And I don't care about the distraction part of things. That's how I would have handled it if I was the athletic director. No, by the way, then you'll get your $12 million. $6 million now and then $6 million over the next 6 years. But overall, the program has come to a place where I'm not sure who the next coach is going to be. Certainly the rumors are out there about Billy Napier. But it's so frustrating that Gator Nation thought they had their guy, and then he completely let them down.
There was just no coming back.
Yeah. Nope.
That's the issue, which if you had told me that 2 months ago, I would have looked at you like you had 10 heads. There's no way. But there's no coming back from being a top five team to then potentially not making a bowl game later down the road. To your point, Lauren, because...
Yeah, unless you have massive injuries.
Correct.
And they didn't have that.
No. And moreover, for being the quarterback whisperer, I mean, there was a... He never settled on a quarterback.
Well, he settled on the wrong one, or at least one who threw more interceptions than most people in college football.
He stuck to the guy that he had, which if you talk to some people in Gainesville, as I have, you know, there's a lot of people that will say that if Kyle Trask, you know, if Felipe Franks doesn't get hurt, Kyle Trask might have never actually been, you know, unlocked into the potential that he had. His potential would have never been unlocked by Dan.
His best quarterback was a guy he didn't recruit and a guy that he really, frankly, didn't want to play other than injury.
Because he was stubborn.
Right.
Because he stuck to it. And we all know, I love my former coworker, Ben Murphy. I hate to give him credit, but his commentary that he did out in Tampa over the weekend really did hit the nail on the head, which is, on the surface, Dan is a quarterback whisperer. On the surface, Florida is this massive offensive juggernaut. But underneath it, you had these conversations going on behind the scenes of, well, Dan wants this person to be the quarterback, and that's who it's going to be. Dan has the 22nd ranked recruiting class, and he's succeeding with Kyle Trask and Kyle Pitts that were recruited by the previous regime. Mm-hmm. Florida hangs with Alabama in both the SEC championship game last year and week three this year, but they have the 35th ranked recruiting class coming in. And so what happens after this group of guys leaves? Mm-hmm. There was a lot of quicksand that this program was sitting on. And as Jeremy Foley has been quoted as saying, and I believe several others in Gainesville as well, what must be done eventually should be done immediately. And that's the sad state of affairs. But there were problems. And without getting into too much detail of the other problems that have gone on in the Gator Athletic Department in the last 2 months, those problems were ignored. These problems were ignored. And so there was no choice. They had to address it head on. And so that's the situation they find themselves in. And I truly believe, I mean, they have to start from scratch. That's why a guy like Billy Napier is a potential candidate for this job. And maybe, you know, quite frankly, in my opinion, the best candidate. Because for Scott Strickland to save his job, he needs to bring in a young program builder like that. And I've had several bigger names floated to me through sources in the last 4 hours. And, you know, it's kind of, I hate to draw parallels, but it's kind of like with the Jags. Are you trying to make a splash, or are you trying to build longevity?
Mm-hmm.
So I think with Dan, they thought they had the longevity. But in this day and age, recruitment is so critical. And Scott Strickland said it in his press conference on Sunday. That piece cannot be ignored. You cannot ignore the problem anymore.
Yeah, which, by the way, thanks, Scott, for announcing the news a few minutes after the Jags kicked off.
No.
Which it doesn't affect necessarily like us as much, but Mark Lung, who covers both teams closely.
He's like, thank you.
Right, exactly. I mean, to me, like, drop that at 10 a.m. or so that way everybody has time to do both, but that's just me.
Well, Lauren, to your point, because you were saying, you know, if it was you, you'd say, no, you have to coach this game. I think as a program, they probably saw he was barely coaching the week before when you guys just lost on Saturday, because you went to go play for overtime when you have the chance to win
the
game
ball
at the
ball in a minute and 4 seconds and two timeouts.
And you're on the 40.
Yeah.
It wasn't like you were on your own 10.
No. Right. So that's, I think at that point, they were probably looking at it and being like, he doesn't want to be here. Players don't want him to be here. Let's just drop this bomb now and see you later.
Yeah, and that's coming from the fact that Florida is playing a rival this Saturday.
Yeah, no, I get it.
No matter what happens, I still want the Gators to beat the Seminoles.
Of course.
While the Seminoles are coming in with all the momentum, certainly, they should be favored to win. Shocked that they're not. But then again, Florida was a favorite.
I didn't see
Missouri,
what has the line been updated. I know it was when we were sitting in the press box at lunch hour right before the Dan Mullen firing, Florida was a 10-point favorite.
Yeah, I think it's dropped to more like 2-ish, 2.5, somewhere in there. But I also haven't looked.
I mean, listen, I know obviously we're focused on the Gators this segment, but we got to give some love to Florida State. I know
you do that, Mia.
Yeah, yeah. No, I honestly,
the program's falling apart,
dude. Yes, they blew a 26-3 lead, but I mean that was the most complete performance I have seen from that Florida State team since maybe the Notre Dame game, which ended in a loss, which, as we're talking about Florida, moral victories don't exist in college football. Please, let's move on from that. Because the fact of the matter is when it was a tight game, when it was a one-possession game, Florida State made a play. Akeem Dent picked off
Phil Yurkovich.
Phil Yurkovich. So they made a play. Moreover, 11 tackles for loss, 4 sacks. Any program in the state of Florida, college or professional right now, would give anything for those sort of numbers. And so I'm very curious what they do at the quarterback position. I know Garrick McGee will be calling plays. Greg Knox is the interim head coach, which they did pick up a commitment even with an interim.
Defensive commitment.
Yes, correct. Which they also have an interim defensive coordinator. So
he's a really good recruiter from everything that I've heard, Christian Robinson. So that part didn't surprise me too much. I mean, it does surprise me because they don't have a head coach.
Right.
But because he's a defensive guy, maybe you think I'm going there regardless.
The point is, I think Florida State's defense is going to feast this Thanksgiving weekend. And that is where the question becomes, similar to 2019 Jaguar land of, you had to play Gardner Minshew because he was mobile, more mobile than Nick Foles.
Right.
Do you have to play Anthony Richardson? Not that Emory Jones isn't more mobile, but can Anthony Richardson do more to get away from that pass rush? I mean, Jermaine Johnson is like literally, he was probably a fifth round pick coming into this season. Homeboy is probably, I mean, he might be a first rounder when all is said and done if he tests well.
Yeah, I haven't looked at the mock draft, but certainly that's a guy that you'd want on your NFL team.
He couldn't get on the field in Athens. And now he's out here terrorizing ACC offenses. So
yeah, he's been excellent.
Yeah.
And I saw a lot of the FSU people saying, you know, one of the best one-year Noles in program history.
Easy.
And I certainly agree with that. As far as the Anthony Richardson thing goes, at this point, no one knows what he is going to look like on the football field, because there have been multiple injuries that have been rumored that he's had. No one, it seems, will confirm those. Anthony will tweet out, you know, jokes about that. So it seems like Anthony and Dan certainly had a rocky relationship, and that may be one of the reasons that Dan Mullen didn't play him. But as far as actually on the field, look, I'd love to see Anthony Richardson start the game, play a lot of the game. But at the same time, I mean, he's made a lot of mistakes too. Like, I don't know that there is a good answer at quarterback. And that's why Dan Mullen had to be fired, is because that's your main job.
Yep.
Your job is to recruit and develop quarterbacks. And if he had gotten the quarterback position right, this season is entirely different for Florida. The difference for Florida and Florida State overall, Florida State has a pretty good quarterback in Jordan Travis.
Yeah. And did you know he's only thrown
one
interception all year? We had a question of who was going to start for Florida State under center. Homeboy's thrown one interception.
That's because Mackenzie Milton came in with the name and the experience.
Yeah.
But I mean,
and a magical moment.
And just like the story.
Yeah, the magical moment at Notre Dame, you know, everyone was
But and
up
in that. So the difference to me is Florida State has a pretty good quarterback, and yet they're still not quite bowl eligible. Florida has had a terrible quarterback situation all season as far as the turnovers and all that. And it seemed like Dan Mullen was pushing the wrong buttons early in the season as far as when he was playing each guy. And Florida's still almost bowl eligible. So it's still a completely different state of each program. Mm-hmm. But certainly if you're Florida State, you feel a lot better about the future, the trajectory. You believe in Mike Norvell, I think, at this point in time. And Florida
you believe
is
in the
now
coordinators, too.
Sure,
tracks,
yeah.
Right.
And, well, I think Florida's now, speaking of tracks, flight tracking.
Yes.
Florida
yes.
Correct.
Correct. Well,
and
great segue.
Numbers.
But no, I mean, I think even crazier is when this team started 0-4, I'm talking about the Florida State Noles, mm-hmm. like, I mean, Kenny Dillingham, you know, the defense coordinator, everybody's calling for the coordinator's heads. And now those two, they're like, wow.
Never mind.
They adjusted.
I figured some things out.
Hey.
Well, that's what I will say on this. It shows Florida 2.5.
Yeah, that's what I thought. 2.5. Yeah. So it's certainly come down, but still Florida's favorite. And that's a bit of a surprise. All right. We will get it to Thanksgiving. Also, Mia will update the top 25 when it comes to college basketball. She's got some fans angry with her. Donna, I know, is our resident chef, so I can't wait to find out what she will be making this Thanksgiving. We've got one more segment to go here on Helmets and Heels, driven by Tire Outlet on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Hey. Yeah. Check, check, mic check. 1, 2. It's classic.
Helmets and Heels, because hats and shoes just doesn't have the same ring.
Driven by Tire Outlet.
Brought to you by Underwood Jewelers.
And Renewal by Anderson.
On 1010XL.
Ain't never coming with nothing less than the illest tactics. Thought the series was over, but we just getting started. I won't never leave this raps. No, I can't depart it.
I just realized last week all of us chose, of course, female artists, because that was the assignment, favorite female artist. But then tonight all four of us chose female artists. RJ, not so much. RJ, who'd you choose for your song that reminds you to be thankful?
Logic. This is his song entitled Thank You. Basically, he's thanking all his fans for allowing him to be him. He's also talking about who would have ever thought that a guy like me would go from rapping in his basement now to rapping in front of thousands of people. So he just wanted to use this song to thank everybody. And that's kind of the same way for me. I'm not saying I'm doing anything in front of thousands or millions of people.
You are. We have millions of listeners, including former head coach Dave Campo.
Absolutely. I do want to, thank, like everyone that kind of helped me along the way to make me believe that I could actually do this thing. So, hearing this song from Logic, I remember a long time ago, him saying thank you. So I know it's still early for me, but I do want to thank everyone for
I love
what they've
it.
Done.
Yeah. Me too. There's never a moment that you're ever going to regret being thankful. And by the way, I just realized my artist was not a female. I chose Sawyer Brown. It was a male, male vocalist.
It's
and
all good.
Male band. But yeah, that's fine. You know, another song that RJ, in talking about that, just made me think of two, actually, songs by the same artist. Luke Combs, Mia, you'll know what I'm talking about. There's one song called This One's For You.
Oh, yes.
This One's For You is so good. He talks about, like, basically...
That might be my, like, top three Luke Combs songs for me.
And I can understand why. It's fantastic. But he talks about how, he owes a beer to his parents and his girlfriend at the time, now wife, friends along the way, anybody who's helped him, like RJ was just saying, get to where he is, and, This One's For You. But also his most recent one that he just released that I'm going to blank on the name of, but I'll come up with it in a second. But he just did it... It's a song about he was getting interviewed and they said, what would you be doing if you weren't doing this? And so it also talked about kind of his journey as a singer-songwriter. Luke Combs is just so fantastic, Donna. You've got to listen to him.
Even if you don't like country, you would love Combs. Like, I've had multiple friends
who
don't like country.
Nope,
I get him in a car and I'm like, just listen to these lyrics. And you're like, dang, like this guy.
All right, Donna, I jokingly tease that you're the chef in our group. And so what will you be serving up this Thanksgiving?
Same thing we do every Thanksgiving, and that is the lovely Bob Evans Thanksgiving.
Oh!
Love it. Can't beat it.
We can't beat it, because you know why? It's already made.
And is this at your house this year?
Nope. Nope. At my parents.
Perfect. Even better.
Pick
you don't
it
even
up.
Have to come up with the serving ware.
Nope. You heat it up, and then you just throw it away. That's it.
That's the way it's
fantastic.
Done. Now, will there be pool time if it's warm enough?
I don't think it's going to be warm enough, but if it is, there could be hot tub time.
Oh. There's always time for hot tub time.
Yes.
Taylor, what does your Thanksgiving look like? We talked a little bit about how you might do a turkey trot.
I might run. Which
there's no way you're running.
She'll do a turkey walk.
Yes. Yeah. I'm not a runner. I used to actually...
You're not an exerciser.
I'm not an exerciser in general.
Not.
I actually used to, like, post high school, like high school and even beginning into college, I was always doing something. I was always running, working out, doing like playing some sport, doing whatever it may be. That just hasn't been it for me lately.
By lately, you mean you're 30. So yeah. A decade.
I kind of have split time because me and my boyfriend will be at his family's for half of the time. And then the other half, I'm going to go over to my brother's house. And then the next morning, getting up and going down south to my grandparents' house. So I have like three Thanksgivings happening and a potential run. And I'm also going to see the Bulls and Magic play on Friday.
Yes! Night. Super fun. Mia, what does your Thanksgiving look like?
So I do have to work. But it's all good. It's all good in the hood.
Are you doing high school on Friday?
I am. I'm going to be headed up to Blackshear, Georgia for the second time in 4 weeks.
Stetson Bennett's from, everybody.
Stetson and his brothers, Knox and Luke, my dogs. They are dogs, those two. Let me tell you, shout out Urban Meyer, dogs. But no, Luke and Knox are actually like the second two leading scorers on that team behind DJ Bell, who's the quarterback. They're the defending state champs in 3A up in Georgia. So that'll be my Friday. But my Thursday, my neighbors have been gracious enough to invite me over for Thanksgiving to their house.
Awesome.
Neighbors / former coworkers. So I'm going to head there. And so, yes, I am responsible. I got the phone call late last night of, we forgot to buy the stuffing. Do you think you could do it? And I was like, I'm kind of surprised. You guys love my Brussels sprouts. You didn't ask for that. And they were like, oh.
Those two.
there is that. And I was like, okay, I'll surprise them. They're not listening right now because I also have a Friendsgiving going on right now. So I'm going to head there after here. So it's a full week of celebrations, but I will be on good old First Coast News. So if you get done watching your football and want to tune on in, I'll be there. I'll be there if y'all want to watch.
I'll probably be done about 12:08 because the Bears are going to already do
it. Hey, there it is. There it is. So, yeah. But no, and then Saturday, I'll be down in Gainesville for that.
And then the Jags
on Sunday.
And then that.
So, yeah, it's going to be an eventful few days. So.
What's more likely to happen? The Gators win or the Jags win?
Jags.
It's more surprising to me the Gators win. I think the Jags should win.
Yeah.
I don't know that they will, but I think the Jaguars should win based off the fact that the Falcons have scored. What's more likely? The Jaguars win.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Florida's
football program is in complete disarray.
I just think it's not even so much the disarray as it is just like even if you make a bowl game, like what are we doing?
Yeah,
do we have a coach?
And I think also the tempo on each side of that.
The momentum is a very real thing, and I believe Florida State of the four teams that we've just mentioned, Florida State, Atlanta, and the Jags. Florida State has the most momentum of anybody, besides
totally agree.
Georgia Bulldogs. So actually, you know what? You know who has the most momentum? Mike White's Florida basketball team, Lauren.
That's right. I was very excited to watch the Florida State game, obviously, last night against Cal. Cal's not a great team. But Thursday morning, I will host the Family Turkey Trot, second annual Family Turkey Trot, and I will be wearing a tank top that says Huffin' for the Stuffin'.
So that stuffin' better be in the bird
when I go to eat it. I'm wearing our tutus that my mom made several years ago that we wear every year now.
So cute.
For our Family Turkey Trot, I will not be running either, Taylor, but I'll be doing some sort of exercise. And then we'll go to Brian's parents, and then we'll go to my parents, and it'll be lots of food and lots of fun. And then, yes, watching a bunch of football. As far as college basketball in the top 25, you did not put Arizona in, and now people hate you, right, Mia?
Yeah, the Barstool Arizona Wildcats account came for me yesterday. Uh-oh. Guys, and the funny part about it was, so Sunday night, you have to submit it by Monday at 10 a.m., your AP top 25 ballot. And so I saw that Michigan was losing by 20 to Arizona, which I had already dropped Michigan far down in my poll. And so I was like, well, you can't drop them out completely for two losses because – I was like, but I also was like, Arizona, like the only people they've beaten are like St. Francis and Nazareth. Wichita State, I think, was their best win up to that point, which I think Wichita State's going to be a good team. But Arizona only beat them in double overtime. So I'm like,
whatever. Was Michigan's preseason rank?
Preseason, they were seven.
Okay.
Six. Yeah, they were four. Actually, last week they were four. They were seven in the preseason poll. So again, they dropped to 20. I believe I had them at 17. Arizona is actually who is sitting at 17. And so, yeah, the Barstool Arizona account just tagged me and all the other voters that neglected to include the Wildcats. So I promise Tommy Lloyd stands out there. I won't forget about you this week. You got to take care of business, though. Mm-hmm. We have such a great slate of games. Everybody is getting tested early this week. We obviously have number one versus number two tonight in Gonzaga versus UCLA.
She says obviously.
Yeah. If you didn't know, number one versus number two, you don't get that a lot in college basketball. You really don't. But we're going to get that this year. So that's the Pac-12 update. Other than that, Purdue, a big win over North Carolina that pushed them up to number three. The Florida Gators are indeed in the top 25 at number 23. They moved up a spot. Florida State, I think, is going to jump right back into the poll. They dominated the Jacksonville Classic, the first ever here in Jacksonville. Mm-hmm. Not that the teams they played, like Loyola Marymount, Missouri, I don't think, you know, those are world beaters. But Florida State's coming. Trust me when I say Florida State's coming. And the Gators, like Lauren mentioned, they'll have a shot at a decent win, potentially a decent win. They play Ohio State tomorrow night.
Right.
Which Ohio State fell out of the top 25 after their loss to Xavier. But Ohio State then won again. So, it's early.
Mm-hmm.
It's early. You want to know who my team is, guys? You know which team I have fallen in love with?
Florida.
The St. Bonaventure Bonnies. Man alive. Let me tell you, they were down 20 when I turned it on last week on Friday, right before high school football. And first of all, they have size inside, which you don't expect out of a mid-major in the A-10 to have the size and the athleticism that they do. Down 20 early, rallied, never wavered, probably because they have a ton of seniors. 5-0. Let's go Bonnies, baby. I love it. I love when the mid-majors can crash the party.
Yeah, no, that is always fun. By the way, I do have to cheer very hard for Florida against Ohio State. I would normally, but because I may end up having to cheer for Ohio State against Georgia if that's what the national championship ends up, even if that ends up being a semifinal, but I think it'll be more like the national championship because I cannot have Georgia win a national championship, even though I hate Ohio State more than most people hate another school that has nothing to do with them. But
you don't want to lose that since the 80s.
Correct.
Are you referring to my hatred of Cortland State? I'm just kidding.
I don't even know what Cortland
State is. There you go.
All right. So that is going to be a wrap for us. Certainly, we are thankful to all of you for listening. Thankful to our producer, RJ, for always bringing the heat and all of our music. And certainly thankful for sports.
Yes.
We appreciate, even though our teams often lose around here, we're still thankful.
Thankful for fans back in the stands.
Of sports, and yes, fans in the stands, although too many 49ers fans this past weekend. Woo. For Donna Murphy, for Mia O'Brien, for Taylor Dahl, I'm Lauren Brooks. Don't go anywhere. Into the Night with Rick Ballew is coming up next, right here on 1010XL 92.5 FM.